The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The Mary and Blake store is the best place to let your nerd flag fly. Nerd clan, do you love Outlander? We got you covered. Can't get enough of the Potterverse or the Pearsons on This Is Us? No problem. Or how about all the sayings that we have at Mary and Blake Media, like, not great, Bob, or land the plane, Helen? We have those too. So you can find all of the best nerd swag and favorite products from all the shows you love right at themaryandblakestore.com. Once again, that's themaryandblakestore.com. From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to the Potterverse. It's a podcast dedicated to the Harry Potter book and film universe. So grab your favorite wands and time turners and let's step into the night and pursue that flighty temptress adventure. Everybody, and welcome. My name's Mary Larson.
My name's Blake, and you would never catch me dead in a green bola. Wouldn't happen.
I'm too out. Too bad, because it was going to be your Halloween costume for a Harry Potter theme.
There are hundreds of characters to
choose
from.
You would actually make an amazing Cornelius Fudge. We could shave your beard and leave a mustache for you.
I'd have to gain about another 100 pounds. He's a big, portly man. I'm out on that.
Who are you going to be?
I'd be Snape. That's what I am. Just put me in a wig.
Okay.
I'm Snape.
Okay.
I'll shave my beard. That'd be fine.
All right.
I ain't going to be Hagrid, though.
Oh, my gosh. You'd be a great Hagrid.
No, your dad's the great Hagrid.
My dad is.
If you guys knew Mary's dad,
he is so great.
Perfect example of Hagrid. Like just a genuinely pleasant, awesome man. Just going to throw that out there.
He is. Okay, so this is the chapter about Cornelius Fudge. And yes, our family is doing Harry Potter-themed Halloween, which we are... Our kids are dressing up as Harry and Hermione.
I know.
And my candy is being handed out in little mini cauldrons. 2020 may be sucking out our soul, but it will not steal Halloween. Oh my goodness gracious. All right. So, bad business, Hagrid, said Fudge in a rather clipped tones. Very bad business. Had to come. 4 attacks on Muggleborns. Things gone far enough. Ministry's got to act. I never, said Hagrid, looking imploringly at Dumbledore. You know I never, Professor Dumbledore, sir. I want it understood, Cornelius, that Hagrid has my full confidence, said Dumbledore, frowning at Fudge. Look, Albus, said Fudge, uncomfortably. Hagrid's record's against him. Ministry's got to do something. The school governors have been in touch. Yet again, Cornelius, I tell you that taking Hagrid away will not help in the slightest, said Dumbledore. His blue eyes were full of fire that Harry had never seen before. Look at it from my point of view, said Fudge, fidgeting with his bowler. I'm under a lot of pressure. Got to be seen doing something. If it turns out it wasn't Hagrid, he'll be back and no more said. But I've got to take him. Got to. Wouldn't be doing my duty.
This is why I'm out on Fudge.
Yeah.
I don't care how he's written, if he's written a little bit more favorably in this book or whatever. His favor dwindles in later books,
yes.
Obviously. But I'm out on Fudge.
Yes.
The guy is doing nothing other than just saving his own...
Yeah, so his own behind.
Body. Yep, that's it.
Yes.
And he doesn't care what the answer is. He doesn't care about solving the actual problem. He's just like...
I need to get somebody.
I have to do this.
You'll do.
Yeah, you'll be fine. He covered his eyes, pointed, and went, yeah, you.
You were accused of this before, so let's go.
Sure, throw it in there.
I'll get people off my back.
This is why I can't be Fudge for Halloween.
Well,
I can't be that incompetent.
Well, while we figure out what you're going to be for Halloween, those of you who are tuning in and listening, we would love to make sure that you are subscribing to our podcast in your podcast app of choice. You can, of course, join our complimentary texting service by texting the phone number 81010 and in the message field, write at Elderwand, just like one whole thing, @ELDERWAND. I send a complimentary text on the days that we go live, so you can join us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. You can actually find us by just searching Mary and Blake Media on all of those platforms. We go live twice a week to podcast about Potter, but more than Potter, we've got a whole universe of Mary and Blake stuff that we podcast about. Game of Thrones, Gilmore Girls, Outlander, This Is Us, The Crown, so many things that are actually coming back this fall. And if you're not necessarily a fan of those shows yet, my friend, there is time to binge and catch up. So you can find out all of this at maryandblake.com. And we, of course, want to thank all of our sponsors at jointhenerdclan.com who make all of this possible.
I solemnly swear that I'm up to no good.
Thought I was supposed to say that.
What?
Let's get into the show.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
It's okay.
It's not like we've been doing this for 2 months, three months, yeah. Whatevs. Oh, okay. All right, so
when we last left off, you know, we were told it was Hagrid. Hagrid opened the Chamber of Secrets, and then Harry, Ron, and Hermione are like, what are we going to do with this? And they decide not yet to ask Hagrid about it. They're feeling like a little conflicted about all of this. So they also have to choose some classes for next year, whatevs. And when Harry comes back, his entire bed and all of his belongings have been ransacked. I mean, even the curtains off of his four-poster bed have been ripped apart. Hermione gets petrified. Sorry about that. Because Harry hears a voice that nobody else can hear. And then Harry and Ron finally say, let's go visit Hagrid. And while they're there, Dumbledore comes, Cornelius Fudge comes, and Lucius Malfoy comes. And they take away Hagrid to go put him in Azkaban. And they also tell Dumbledore he's all done, too.
That he's out.
You're done.
All right. Before we continue, I do have to call out a couple of comments here on the live chat.
Yes.
Rachel on Facebook says he's Fudge is like the mayor of Halloween Town in Nightmare Before Christmas. I'm an elected official. I can't make decisions on my own.
Yes.
Totally agree.
Oh my gosh. Such a good call. Such a good call.
And Caitlin says a Hufflepuff. Blake should go as a Hufflepuff prefect.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
yes.
You know what?
No! God, please, no!
No.
No!
That's right, Michael.
No!
Would never happen.
No!
Goodness gracious. So, you know what's
I wouldn't want to waste a good Halloween costume.
This, of course, is the chapter where the voice is heard very clearly by Harry in this chapter, too, by the way. We've got a lot of things. This is moving and shaking, and the book is almost done. Are you all right?
I just started laughing. Because Kyle Ann on Facebook says Lumos, our cat, is funny. She's just sitting there facing the opposite direction. And I looked at our screen and Lumos is
all set with Cornelius Fudge.
She is out. She too is out on Cornelius
Fudge. She normally is down to podcast. Right now she's rolling her eyes so far back that you can't see them on her backside, which is why she's sitting backwards.
If you're listening on the podcast app, I'm sorry. You need to go to YouTube to see this.
Yep.
She's
Oh my gosh, stupid. Yeah. But I got you.
Oh man,
you wanna know some good news?
This is great stuff.
The mandrakes?
Yes.
They're teenagers. They're having raucous parties.
And they're gonna start moving into each other's pots pretty soon.
Bow chicka wow wow.
I feel like this is a problem that this is a personal issue that they've got.
Hey, you know what? I loved it. The moment they start to move into each other's pots, we'll know they're fully mature.
Yes, exactly.
So we can chop them up and stew them up and make an anti, like, and make the potion so they're all set. Like, what are they going to... I know what they're going to do.
Oh,
but
yeah.
The pots wouldn't be big enough. I mean, who knows? Who knows? Of course, as I said, all the students in the second year get to pick classes for next year. So they have to keep their core classes, but then they get to add extracurriculars.
I love the process by which all of these students, that the cross-section of students pick these classes.
Yes.
Dean Thomas is like, yeah, whatever.
He's like, I'm Muggle-born. I don't even know what these words mean.
He picked the Cornelius Fudge approach, just closing his eyes and pointing.
Yes.
And Ron, Harry is just like, I'm going to do whatever Ron does because I'm going to suck anyway, so I might as well have a friend while I'm at it.
What a humble moment, though. Like, Harry really doesn't feel secure in any of his classes. The only thing that he feels actually confident in is Quidditch.
Yeah, right.
that he's like, I'm not doing well in anything, so I'm just going to at least stick with Ron.
Yeah, because he's my bro, and hopefully he'll have my back.
Yeah, and I just like, I love that when Harry just has those humble moments, even if it's just inside of his own head.
Sure.
Because, you know, you can read all the stuff. I mean, the series is called Harry Potter and the XYZ, but Harry wasn't necessarily the star pupil. And you know how, like, when you're in school and you're trying so hard to get good grades, to be the captain or whatever, Harry's normal, like us, mm-hmm. except he defeated the Dark Lord.
And then, of course, we have Hermione, who is just picking every single class, which is a great little tidbit for next book.
Yes.
With the time turner action.
Yes.
And I think that's incredible.
Oh, speaking of time turners, we're going to have a new shirt.
Oh, yes. We're going to be having a brand new shirt at the Potterverse.
It dawned on me.
This was Mary's idea.
Yeah. As, you know, as we're getting ready to vote and the world is just slowly getting more COVID cases, I was like, gosh, I wish I had a time turner and I could just go back to 2019. Like early 2019.
Yes.
Maybe even 2018. Let's do 2018.
2018 would be good.
2018 would be awesome. So, yeah, that's going to be one of our new shirts is a time turner.
Yeah, it's going to say 2019 with a time turner.
Or 18. I don't know if
Well, you said 2019. I designed it for 19.
I know, but 2019 whatever, is when it began.
The zero is going to be a time turner. It's just going to say three turns should do it. So, yeah, it's going to be awesome. Can't wait for that.
Seriously.
Can't wait for that.
Bring me back. Bring me back.
I want to talk about another great little thing that the author puts into this chapter, obviously, which is when Harry gets his bed and his whole room essentially ransacked. And as you mentioned, the things were torn off the four posts and everything has gone through. And they say, well, it must be a Gryffindor because nobody else knows our password.
Yep.
And you would think, well, yeah, it has to be a Gryffindor. But something that the author does in the previous chapter was Hermione being in the boys' dormitory.
Yeah. Girls are allowed in Hogwarts. Girls are allowed to be in boys' dormitories. Boys are not allowed to be in girls' dormitories.
But in the book by this point, you don't know that.
Wasn't she there at Christmas? Didn't she like go into their...
Yeah, but it's not explicitly said that girls are allowed and boys aren't allowed in girls' dormitories. Oh, well,
they'll find that out soon.
Well, yeah, I know, but I'm saying at this point right now, you don't know that as the reader.
And can't house elves like apparate into the dormitories?
I would imagine.
I mean, they're the ones that are probably making the beds.
Yeah, absolutely. They're the ones laying out all the all the stuff, like all the uniforms and everything. More than late. Who's bringing up all the trunks? You know, I'm sure that they can't.
House elves.
So it could be a house elf, but I mean, for our purposes here, it's got to be a Gryffindor. And again, the one thing that the author does in the previous chapter is establish pretty sneakily that girls can go into the boys' dormitory. Mm-hmm. And having said that, that now leaves open every single Gryffindor person that there is. And I think you, the reader, would probably assume that it's Percy because he's been acting all funky. He's a prefect and he is a pureblood.
Yeah.
He's a Gryffindor. And he's got the boys. He's got the password for the dormitory.
You know, it's so funny because I really remember reading these books and not even necessarily having the time to digest and make my own assumptions. I was just so excited. I just kept flipping the pages. And of course, this book isn't that long.
Sure.
So, you know, you're just like, okay, I don't know who it is, but I'm going to find out really soon. Mm-hmm. And it is fun savoring these chapters, you know, two chapters a week to, you know, kind of replay it back in our minds. Like, we know who it is, but it's just... it's really fun, but goodness gracious, did they really need to make such a big mess out of his belongings?
Yes, absolutely.
Why?
Because
to pull down the curtains from his four-poster bed.
And as we all as we all know, it's Ginny who's doing it because she wants to prevent Harry from suffering the same fate, you know, that she did. And you know, she's probably looking pretty thoroughly. I mean, who knows what Harry where he put that bad boy? He's protecting that with his life.
And is
didn't
Harry
do a great job, by the way?
Yeah, is Harry like clean or is Harry messy? I feel like Harry would be messy.
I feel like Harry's a disaster.
Yeah,
I feel like
it probably looked that way. It was probably like when I got broken into and the cops came in and they were like, oh my God, the thief ruined your apartment. And
tore
I walked
it all
around.
Apart.
I was like, no. This is the way it was when I went to work today.
That's right.
This is the only thing that's missing. It was mortifying. They were like, everything's everywhere.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, that was how it was. Sorry.
So a lot of people here are saying that they think that it was too fast to make any assumptions. I don't know. I don't think it's that fast to make assumptions about about who, at least if you're not, if you haven't read the book yet.
Well, within this chapter, you realize that it's not Percy because he's kind of freaking out. You know, when
that's true. When he sees Penelope Clearwater,
which you know. She isn't named yet, but
no, she is. She is named.
She's named in this chapter.
Yeah, she is okay. named.
But their connection. Like, yeah, she's a prefect, but we don't know yet.
We don't know
that they're snogging.
Right.
Can we just have a moment and like light a candle, raise a glass for Colin Creevy, Justin Finch Fletchley, and Sir Nicholas, who are still petrified?
It's been 4 months.
Four months later for Justin and Nick.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Colin was petrified before Christmas.
Yeah.
When was Colin petrified? Like Halloween?
Like I said, is he going to have to redo the year?
Do the parents still pay tuition?
Yeah, it's kind of like right now with COVID, when you send your kid to college and they just shut the college down and they're like, well, I don't care. You still got your money.
Yeah. And like, why haven't the parents come to take these kids out? Why don't they go to St. Mungo's, the like magical hospital?
Right.
Are the parents just like, sure, we trust Madame Pomfrey. She's awesome. Like, I'm sorry, but if my kid was petrified for months. What?
Lumos is sitting in front of the camera now. So hold on. If you're listening on the podcast app, I'm sorry, but you guys need to see this.
Okay.
Okay, hold on 1 second.
Okay.
You just see your head right at the bottom of the screen. And what I saw last was just her eye.
Lumos.
Oh.
Let me see if I can get her look up. Oh, yeah. There it is.
Turn around, Lumos. At a girl.
Gaze at your people. This is my podcast. When does Crookshanks come into the books? Oh my goodness gracious.
Oh, okay.
Yes, like Abby brings up a good point. Are there no mandrakes anywhere else other than Hogwarts? Now we do know that like Professor Sprout, she's amazing with herbology, and maybe there are not easily accessed fresh mandrakes. Maybe you need them like super duper fresh. But it just kind of blows my mind. And I know that St. Mungo's hasn't been introduced yet into the series. We get into that actually at the end of this book. Lockhart ends up at St. Mungo's.
Yes.
But it's just kind of weird. Like, as a parent, either A, the school didn't let them know, and you're like, gosh, you know, we haven't heard from Justin since Christmas,
right?
Like Christmas Eve. A kid, he's ignoring my letters. Like, the Muggle parents must be bugging, right?
Yeah.
Or they absolutely. Just say, don't worry about it. He's fine. He's petrified.
He's good. We got him under control. Yeah. It's fine.
Did he get to like Skype? I mean, you're a Muggle parent. Your kid just started the school a year and a half ago.
I have to move Lumos.
Oh,
I have to. Hold on.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, Lumos, I, you're a great cat, but
thank you. Thank you, Lumos.
Oh, okay.
So as I said, let's raise a glass. And for Colin Creevy, who I said has been petrified since, I think, Halloween.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Bless his little heart.
I'm all out of
and
sorts.
And Mrs. Norris.
I'm all out of sorts now.
They've been doing intermittent fasting.
They're on the keto.
Yeah.
You know.
No, they're not eating.
Yeah, they're fasting for keto.
No, fasting and keto, they often are in tandem, but they are two different things.
Well, whatevs. It's fine. So stats are for nerds.
Okay, so Harry hears, kill this time.
Yes.
Let me rip, tear. And he shouts it out loud to Ron and Hermione. He says, the voice, I just heard it, didn't you? And Hermione smacks her head. Harry, I just understood something. I've got to go. And she runs away, of course. And Ron and Harry are just so used to her running away and going to the library.
Yeah.
That they're like, whatever.
I have to have a little bit of a criticism here.
Oh.
I have to.
Okay.
I'm kind of out on this decision.
On what decision?
To have Hermione be like, oh, I figured something out. Not say anything. Not say, hey, come to the library with me. Hey, let's check this out. Come search for the book with me. She just runs off. And then all of a sudden, because she's figured it out and we need the story to continue, she gets petrified.
What do you mean just her goes? They're about to have a Quidditch match.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So she just goes. This is
Harry
a big
can't
deal.
Go.
Harry can go.
No. You know what's more important to Harry? Quidditch.
I don't know.
The most important thing to Harry is Quidditch.
I'm not sure if I agree with that because
I think Harry Yes. Otherwise, no. Harry would have said, Hermione, I'm interested in this. Let me miss my Quidditch match, well, which may seal okay, the right. House
even
Cup.
Even if you wanted to do that, even if you wanted to make that excuse, which I don't think is a valid excuse because it's your world. You can make the characters do whatever the heck you want. Hermione should say, Harry, come to the library with me. I need your help. And then Harry should say, no, I got Quidditch. I can't go. You go. Like, again, whenever you're writing a story, your characters have to act authentically and they have to do the best they can to achieve their goals. Like, they have to do everything within their power to make their goals come true.
Except Harry's goal is to play Quidditch. Ron even says, you'd better get moving. Agreed. It's nearly 11. But the
Hermione's
match. And they race up to the tower.
Hermione's goal is to solve the issue at this moment.
Yeah, but it's not Harry's goal in this moment.
But it's Hermione's goal. And her goal is to solve it. She needs help to do that.
No, she doesn't.
Sure she does.
She knows where to go in the library. These
every
two boys
time,
drag her down.
Every time they've ever gone to the library to figure something out.
She goes to the library loads by herself.
I know, but when they are trying to figure out the mystery of the story, all three of them have gone. And that's not me making it up. That is within the text.
No, she's gone to the library before to find things, and she'll say, oh, I read this in a book. I completely disagree. And I think actually the context that Ron then says when Harry's like, why does she always have to go to the library? Harry says this. Ron says, because that's what Hermione does. When in doubt, go to the library.
I don't doubt that.
It for you right there in the text. Like, this is what she always does.
I don't know. I disagree because no matter what, she would have said, this is what I'm thinking.
Luckily, I don't like really care about this issue because I completely disagree.
I will say, but I do because I want my characters to do the things that I think that are within their
And I think that Harry wants to go play Quidditch.
Yeah, no, I agree. He does, but there should at least be a line that says, "Come with me, guys. I want to figure this out." And then they both say, no, I'm not going. I got other things to do.
Listen.
But regardless, aside from all that, I will say this. Hermione getting petrified, even though it is convenient for the story that the person who does figure it out gets petrified instantly.
Because she went looking for it.
Oh, I know. But I'm saying it's convenient because the one person that did figure it out is petrified, which means the story can't continue. Though.
I'd love to see you write a book.
Though, I will say this. Hermione getting petrified does give us a very personal stakes for the other two. And it forces the other two to make...
Everyone's on my side. Elizabeth says, I agree with Mary. Hannah says, I feel like this is authentic to how Hermione acts.
That's not true.
Rachel says the boys would have not wanted to go.
Sure. Angela says she agrees. And Suzanne says she agrees with me. So I'm just saying we're at a tie here. And I think it's a 50-50 thing. And it's fine. Okay. It's fine. But we get a personal stakes with Hermione getting petrified, and it forces the two boys to act in ways that they wouldn't normally act. They have to take things onto their own account. They can't just use or rely on Hermione to figure it out like she has
so
done.
I'm so bored.
Oh, my goodness. Fine.
Where's the land the plane sound effect? That's what I need.
You know what? Fine.
Land the plane, Helen.
Okay.
There you go.
Continue on, Mary. My opinion no longer matters.
No, it does matter. You're saying that this is just a little burr in your bum, a bee in your bonnet, one may.
That's a burn my bum.
I don't know. Like, isn't there like a phrase about burrs? Like the little spiny burrs? Is there a phrase?
It's a burr. And sure, whatever.
A burr, sure.
A burr.
A sherbert?
Sure, sherbert.
So anyway, he goes and he tries to go play Quidditch and the match is canceled. Okay, Blake. Now we can have deep discussions because this is the part that actually matters.
All right, go ahead.
Just saying the floor is now open.
Oh, thanks. Well, since it's such an important thing to you, why don't you go ahead and lead the conversation?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, we find out that Hermione and Penelope Clearwater have been petrified and everyone needs to go back to Gryffindor Tower. And then Harry and Ron say, enough is enough. We need to get out of here and go talk to Hagrid. What is interesting, of course, is Lee Jordan, who is one of my favorite minor characters. He's the one that he's like two Gryffindors down, not counting a Gryffindor ghost, one Ravenclaw and one Hufflepuff. Puff, haven't any of the teachers noticed that the Slytherins are all safe? Isn't it obvious all this stuff is coming from Slytherin, mm-hmm. the heir of Slytherin, the monster Slytherin? Why don't they just chuck all the Slytherins out? He roared to nods and scattered applause. And that is almost the quote that I read tonight.
That would have been a good quote.
Yeah. For all the hate that you throw, all the shade, the puff shade that you throw, I was mm-hmm. like, that's what I should read. Mm-hmm. But I didn't. So nonetheless, you know, Percy's in shock. What is interesting, of course, is we don't see Ginny mentioned at all at this point. Harry's now nervous that there will not be any school for him.
Yeah, and something that he does is really great. For, I mean, first, the author takes away the diary from Harry, which is a big deal because as we talked about last chapter, he's finding comfort in Tom Riddle. He's finding comfort in that relationship that he's created.
Comfort because, or like...
Validation, maybe? Because all of his friends are doubting him. Like, are you sure you're hearing that? Or like, what is that? And all the people at the school are like, dude, you're the heir to Slytherin. What are you talking about?
I'm trying to figure out like what the word is. It's like when you finally find someone who's like you.
Yeah, you're finding a kindred spirit. You yes. find somebody yes. that is
that would be willing to do anything to stay at Hogwarts.
Right, and he understands that. And so first, what she does, the author, is she gives Harry the diary. And he takes comfort. He takes, like, he knows that there's a kindred spirit there. And then she immediately takes it away. Mm-hmm. And that brings him back down to another level where he cannot get that reassurance. He cannot get that that help. Now he's on his own again. She's continuing to, for the lack of a better term, torture Harry.
Yep.
Like, here's where it is. This is the thing that you're looking for. You're yep. looking for support. Here it is. And nope, never mind. Now you're back on your own again. And not only that, Hermione is gone. So good luck with that, too. Also, what she does here is that Harry is worried. Harry is worried about his friends, worried about staying at school, worried about his world coming to mm-hmm. crumbling once yep. again right before him. He can't do anything about it. And the similarities between Riddle and Harry are striking mm-hmm. in how they are just looking to stay at that school. And he doesn't blame Riddle
yeah.
for feeling the way that he does,
yep.
which further, I think, puts Ron on another track.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about that choice?
Well, yeah, I mean, you have it right there. He was looking at a lifetime back with the Dursleys. Like, if the culprit wasn't caught soon, he was looking at a lifetime back with the Dursleys. Tom Riddle had turned Hagrid in because he was faced with the prospect of a muggle orphanage if the school was closed, and Harry now knew exactly how he felt. So he can look at Ron, who lives in a magical wizarding family who love him and mm-hmm. would figure something else out. So, yeah, they go and they take out Harry's invisibility cloak, which he hasn't used this entire year.
Yep. One thing before you continue, yeah. I do want to mention, as always, mm-hmm. the antagonist-protagonist relationship is so important. And it's so important to the story because it gives it life. It gives it drama. And that forces our characters to make choices, which mm-hmm. further reveals who they are. Key, vital. I mean, the one pillar of the antagonist-protagonist relationship is they want the same thing. It's just a difference in
yes,
how they do it.
The view it, yeah.
The big famous one is you know, Batman and the Joker in The Dark Knight. They both are fighting for the soul of Gotham. They want Gotham to be in their clutches. It's just how they're going about it mm-hmm. is two totally different methods. Same yep. thing here. Harry wants to stay in school, and he will do anything to make sure he can do that. So will Tom Riddle.
Yep.
But Riddle is doing it for totally different purposes, and the way he's doing it is completely different. So it sets them at odds in the mirror of each other. Is what gives them the natural antagonist-protagonist relationship without Harry even knowing it.
Nope, because here he is, worried that it's actually Hagrid who is going to be the antagonist.
Yes.
And what I love is, though, he says, I can't believe it's him this time. But if he set the monster loose last time, he'll know how to get inside the Chamber of Secrets, and that's a start. Like, in Harry's bones, he really knows that it's still not Hagrid, that he just cannot believe that. And I love that about Harry. He really does have a great... a knack for being able to read people exceptionally well. You know, he trusts the people generally that he should be trusting, aside from Snape. You know, he has a pretty good knack for people. Mm-hmm. So they go out and they go through the deserted castle corridors. And I loved the invisibility cloak didn't stop them from making any noise. And there was a particularly tense moment when Ron stubbed his toe only yards from the spot where Snape stood standing guard. Thankfully, Snape sneezed at almost exactly the same moment that Ron swore. but of course, you know, all the prefects, all the teachers, they are doing rounds. Right. Like, this double attack just happened. Everyone's on super high alert because they're trying to figure out what's going on. And it is quite interesting that we don't see too awfully much of Dumbledore. So they go in, they're talking with Hagrid a little bit. Hagrid, of course, feeds them yet again. Mm-hmm. He gives them large mugs of boiling water. He forgot the tea, and he gave them more fruitcake. And then Dumbledore comes up with Cornelius Fudge.
Right, and again, we're also getting another antagonist-protagonist relationship here between Dumbledore and Fudge. And they are the opposites. They both want the same thing, the safety of Hogwarts, but they're doing totally different things to create that. And Fudge is a person who is just not powerful. He is the exact opposite of Dumbledore. He is someone who really can't think properly. He's making poor decisions. He doesn't sit down and assess the safety of the matter. He's just doing things for the sake of doing them. Whereas Dumbledore's how would you think Dumbledore is acting right now? Like, is he
vague?
Is he doing anything really to protect the students of Hogwarts?
No.
I kind of agree.
I know. This is like another strike for Dumbledore.
Like, what is going on? Like, what do you think he is thinking?
I mean, I think he's sitting.
You know what? Hold it. Do that for your different perspective.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay.
Do that for your different perspective.
Oh, okay. This is gonna. All right. Wow. Yep.
Yep. There you go.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, there is. Fudge answers to Lucius Malfoy, of all people. Lucius Malfoy just shows up and is like, yeah, you know what? Dumbledore, you're out too.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just, they're both doing things for the sake of doing them, where I feel like Dumbledore is taking his time to ponder an actual plan.
Well, Lucius definitely catches Albus off guard. Lucius and Fudge catch him off guard. He's got this fire that Harry has never seen.
Right.
So I do believe that Dumbledore has been trying to do things. And then in comes Fudge, who's going to get rid of Hagrid, who is one, if not the most trusted person by Dumbledore. And then Lucius just comes in and he says, dreadful thing, Dumbledore, but the governors feel it's time for you to step aside. This is an order of suspension. You'll find all 12 signatures on it. I'm afraid we feel like you're losing your touch. How many attacks have there been now? Two more this afternoon, wasn't it? At this rate, there'll be no Muggleborns left at Hogwarts. And we all know what an awful loss that would be to the school. So what's interesting is Fudge stands up and says, no, that's the last thing that we want. But the governors have more power over the school than obviously Fudge does. You know, the school is run differently. So the kids, Harry and Ron, are just sitting in this room underneath this invisibility cloak, this entire conversation, seeing this all happen in real time.
Right.
What I loved about this is Hagrid, of course, knows that the kids are there. Mm-hmm. And he tells them, like, just follow the spiders, just follow the spiders. But we also know from back when Harry found the Mirror of Erised that Dumbledore can see him somehow, like he knows he's there, even when he's under the invisibility cloak. So Dumbledore has a big thing that he says out, too. You know, letting people know that that you will find that I will have only truly left the school when none here are loyal to me. You'll also find that help will always be given at Hogwarts to those who ask for it. And then Malfoy's like, whatever. And then we've got Hagrid, who once again is just like yelling off into space. And I loved how they did this in the movie. Oh, yeah.
There's something that the author has written here that is great. For a second, Harry was almost sure that Dumbledore's eyes flickered towards the corner where he and Ron had stood hidden. I love that.
I wonder if he can see Nurgles.
Yeah, and
like if he has if it's part of his spectacles that he has, like Luna Lovegood special spectacles. You know how she's able to find him on the train?
Right.
I wonder if that's like a part of his glasses. Like he has trifocals and one level is Nurgle level.
Can Dumbledore, does he have another sense that we don't know about? Or is he just that good of a wizard that he can literally see through a Deathly Hallow?
I mean, I think it's his glasses. I really do.
I mean, I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm not saying that you're wrong, but...
I think it's Nargles.
You're covered with Nargles. and I like this too, where Malfoy's like, admirable sentiment, said Malfoy, bowing. We shall miss all your highly individual way of running things, Albus, yes. And only hope that your successor will manage to prevent any killings. Like, I just, how he says it like Hagrid. Oh, yeah. It's just that, it's that me above you, you're not as good as me attitude that gets this guy in trouble.
Yeah.
Where he gets it right in the head. And I like that. I like that a lot.
So off goes Hagrid. The students, you know, number one person that they go to, that they can trust, that they can also be honest with. You know, they're not necessarily honest with other adults at this point. Harry's already lied to Dumbledore in this book. They keep things from Professor McGonagall. Had they just come out and been like, my book's missing, because doesn't someone bring that up? Like, why don't you let people know?
Yeah, but but we've already established that they can't do that. One, narrativium, the book has to continue. Because if they did do that, book's over.
Yeah.
But within universe, Harry is already very scared.
Yes.
He's mortified. He's embarrassed. And he's not sure who he can trust.
Yes.
Even Dumbledore. Mm-hmm. And we called that out when Riddle made the same choice with his headmaster.
Mm-hmm.
How they answered it in both the same way.
Yeah.
Which was that question of no. It was hesitant. It was reticent. Mm-hmm. It was, no, I have to do this on my own because I don't know who I can.
Yeah.
And I'm embarrassed. And he doesn't want to be embarrassed any more than he already has been. So it makes sense, I think, within universe that they're not telling adults.
Agreed.
One last thing. In terms of the, what Dumbledore says about loyalty. Like, we just got done watching the Comey rule on Showtime, and there's this big thing about the President Trump talking to Jim Comey about loyalty, how he has to have loyalty. And in that context, it was one that was a negative context. It was one where it was like, oh, that is a improper relationship that's being brewed. In this context, I know it's for the greater good. But
you got to be careful when you say those words.
I'm just saying. Okay.
That exact phrase.
Okay. I know it's meant to be...
For the kindness of his heart.
It's
for the benefit of the students.
It's meant to be taken in a way that is positive. But I still find it a little suggestive. Like, it just feels like Dumbledore is taking... He is making his own, for the lack of a better term, he's making his own army. He's making his, he is making sure that people are loyal to him. And that feels suggestive to me. Do you agree or disagree with
that? No, I completely agree.
And is that appropriate?
These are tough times, man. These are tough times. And if you've got some 12-year-olds who are going to have your back, giddy up.
Because it's suggesting, okay, even if Dumbledore is wrong, don't worry about it because you're loyal. You're loyal. And that is suggesting that if something is wrong but you're loyal, doesn't matter. You're okay.
Well, think about it. Like, Harry just found out that Hagrid opened the Chamber of Secrets, but he is so loyal to Hagrid that he's not telling any of the professors. He actually, like, kind of avoids it for a little bit until Hermione is petrified. And then he's finally like, okay, we should probably go talk to Hagrid.
Yep.
His loyalty to Hagrid is letting him not go to... the head of Gryffindor, to Dumbledore, like people who work closely with Hagrid. He's so loyal to him that he is possibly not doing the right thing.
Yeah. I don't know. This conversation, this first part, makes me a little uncomfortable, but it is followed up by something that I really appreciate, which is you will also find that help will always be given at Hogwarts to those who ask for it.
Yep.
That feels more like Dumbledore to
me
than the loyalty thing, which is why I think they probably nixed it from the film.
Mm.
Because it doesn't feel right. it feels like he's
talks about his loyalty later on, how Fox will come because of his loyalty, because Harry stands up and says, like, he's an amazing headmaster, blah, 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 blah. Loyalty is a tricky thing.
Loyalty is a tricky thing. All right, you want to do your different perspective?
Yeah, but before we do, we wanted to let you know that The Different Perspective is brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com. It's a one-stop shop for all of your makeup needs. And just wanted to give you a heads up. Mascara has the shortest shelf life out of all of your makeup. Did you know that?
I do, actually.
You need to change your makeup, your mascara, once a season. So every winter, spring, summer, fall. Okay, you need to change your mascara no matter where you bought it. And I would love for you to try mine out at MinuteWithMary.com. So shoot me a message if you have any questions. New year, new lashes, MinuteWithMary.com. Let's just keep looking forward to that new year. We're not even close, but that's what I'm looking forward to. 2021. All right, time for The Different Perspective.
Holy cricket, you're Harry Potter. I'm Hermione Granger. And you are?
Albus. Wilfred. What's all of his different names? Brian.
Yeah, Brian. That's the only one I remember is Brian.
Yeah.
Just because it's so ridiculous.
Yeah. Luckily, he doesn't say his name with all of his affiliations.
Yes, each time.
Yeah, like our boy Lockhart does. All right, so
best smile five years in a row.
So, I actually have not been at Hogwarts a
really
lot
Dumbledore
this year. Yeah,
why?
Because Tom Riddle and Voldemort. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's back. He was literally in Hogwarts
last year, underneath
my nose the entire time, mm-hmm. and I don't know where he went. So people think that I'm upstairs knitting, mm-hmm. but I'm actually apparating all the time. All the time.
No, people think that you're in the kitchen.
Yes. Listening to Kelly Clarkson eating cake. Which
doesn't kill you, makes you stronger.
I do that when I come back. That's how I unwind. Okay? Because I'm not dead yet. So I reward myself because each time I'm going out and I'm searching the world, I'm going to all these different places trying to figure out and piece together things because somehow the Chamber of Secrets is now open. Mm-hmm. And students who I'm supposed to be protecting are being petrified. Luckily, no one's died yet.
Yep.
Okay. So we don't have to close just yet. But things are happening. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's not Hagrid. I know it's not Hagrid. I know it is Voldemort. But I have to find him.
Dumbledore, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Why are you letting Hagrid just be taken off to Azkaban? Why are you letting that happen? He's your boy.
Well, I tried to say stop. It was more like a, no, don't, stop.
No, oh, God, please don't do that.
Yeah.
So why are you letting him do that?
I'm not happy about it.
Is it to get everybody out of the school? Just get them out? Get them out so I can figure it out?
No, I really wasn't prepared for this. Mm-hmm. This caught me off guard. I was trying to mind my own business, and all of this just happened really quickly. Two students are petrified. I don't know what's going on. Harry Potter's lying to me, and I can't figure out what's right and what's wrong, because he doesn't know about the book. He doesn't know about the diary.
Right, right.
So he just doesn't understand how you go open it, how you get in. I went down. I got messaged by Fudge to go talk to Hagrid, and I tried everything. I am livid with Fudge right now.
I feel like you were a little less than everything.
No, I'm livid. There's fire within my eyes.
Okay, sure. Okay? Fair enough.
Like, I don't really emote as grand as many people would think. Mm-hmm. That was my emoting. And then I got kicked to the curb, so yes. I emoted again. So, you know, just asked Harry Potter to take care of it.
Because, you know, he's 12, and that makes sense.
Harry freaking Potter.
Oh, wait, hold on.
I'm Harry freaking Potter.
Finally did it, ladies and gents. Finally did it. You're welcome for that.
You know, it's like, if you got to leave it in somebody's hands, I'll give this really vague thing. I wish I could have said good luck, but that would have been a little too obvious and fun or fudge.
Sure, sure.
And, I don't know where they're taking me. But I'm a little upset because I didn't get to eat my cake.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get to listen to Kelly.
Because that's the motivational part. You got to have the Kelly.
Seriously, man.
If you don't have Kelly, it's a problem.
Yeah. And my Pensieve's upstairs. Like, everything's there. So I've been operating. I've been trying to figure things out. My Pensieve is not, like, helping me out. I don't know what's going on. Hopefully, Harry freaking Potter can help me out.
I'm Harry freaking Potter.
You're welcome, ladies and gentlemen. You are welcome. All right. You ready for listener questions? We did not get any emails today. Or do you have Dumbledore, are you done? Or do you want to continue?
Yeah, no, I'm just, you know, I feel bad for Dumbledore because the Ministry of Magic has more power than him.
Yeah.
We get to see that later on with Umbridge. Like, he doesn't have a say about if she can be a teacher or not. It's imposed upon him. He can tell her, you can't ask Trelawney to leave.
Yeah, but I agree with you that the level of power, the ministry exceeds Dumbledore's, because he's just the headmaster of Hogwarts.
Yes.
But again, we are in a position where Dumbledore is the most powerful wizard in the world. Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
Not only is he the most powerful wizard in the world, his opposition, Fudge, he's an LD.
Okay, you got to be careful with that.
Well, listeners of Outlandercast know what that is. He's a nobody. He's just a mouthpiece. That's it. So I feel like, and this is proven in Order of the Phoenix, when Dumbledore takes off, that's it. He just takes off, and he takes measures into his own hands. And I feel like with Hagrid, it doesn't have to be an official thing. It could be off book. It could be clandestine. This could be like Navy SEAL stuff.
Do you think he gives Hagrid a present for like letting him down? Because like, yeah, she could have given a bit more of a fight, or he could have, you know, thrown a little pixie dust or something and made Hagrid disappear.
But like, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Like Hagrid goes to Azkaban for a little bit.
Right.
Does he get a fruit basket? Does he get a spa gift card?
Does he do anything? Because it's like, it's like a temporary fix, and Fudge knows it. So is this like the Goodfellas treatment, where they, when they go to jail, you know, in quotations, and they're sitting there making pasta and doing the whole thing?
I mean, that'd be lovely.
Wouldn't it be nice?
Fruitcakes.
You know? Yeah. So is it like, I'm going to
sherbet
jail,
lemons,
but it's luxury jail?
Oh, okay. I could be like the teacher jail.
Yeah. It's like, you know,
there's a snack bar.
We just show up and, you know, we're sitting there making sauce all day. Mm. And we're playing cards. We don't got to worry about nothing. We got our own suite.
Let's scroll up and see if we had any questions from our listeners. Remember, if you're tuning in live... Oh, what?
We got to play the sound first.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. No problem.
Oh, Miles here.
So remember, if you're watching us live and you want to submit a question, use that lightning bolt emoji before your question. Blake, if you wouldn't mind scrolling up, my love, on the comments, as I did see we had a couple of them. We want to make sure that we get them. And those of you who are listening, please make sure that you send us an email, maryandblakemedia@gmail.com, when you have questions, comments, or anything like that concerning the next few chapters, or even things that we've talked about here, and you disagree or agree, and you want your opinion shared on the show.
All right, so let's see what we got here. I know that there was some here. Okay, how exactly would Dumbledore be able to stop the ministry, asks Patricia.
He would need to break wizarding law, and he would have to do a spell. He would either have to do an Imperio curse.
Sure.
And pretty much, like, you know, be in control of their heads. He would have to do a Confundus charm, also not supposed to be allowed.
Why doesn't he just make Hagrid disappear? Just
because then he's obstructing justice.
I know, but I'm saying he could go off book. They're not taking Hagrid away. Like, I mean, I know they're taking Hagrid away, like, right then and there.
Boop.
But just boop, done.
Hagrid might take a little bit more than a boop. He's a big guy.
He's more like a, ugh. That's what he is.
Yeah, like, and you just feel like Hagrid isn't in on this. Like, it's too bad that you don't feel confident for Hagrid that Dumbledore's like, don't worry, man, I got you. I'm going to get you out real soon.
Why can't Dumbledore do the, you know, take a page out of Lockhart's book and just give him a memory charm? Give him the boop, and then give him the memory charm. Or give him the Obliviate.
This would have made, between this and the Time Turner, all you need, you know what you needed?
What?
You needed a little Slytherin.
Yeah, man.
He needed to listen to Snape. Had he gone to Snape, Snape would have been like, bippity boppity boo, Hagrid away.
He would have booped him.
And Imperio. Or
memory charm.
Memory charm.
Yeah, or Obliviate. Just, like,
why don't you just go get Lockhart?
Bloop.
Yeah. There you go.
you give him a boop and a bloop.
Yeah.
A boop and bloop.
Swish and a flick and you're ready. Okay.
I just feel like that's what should happen here. But again, narrativium, if we did that, the book's over, essentially.
And also, I mean, like, you're going against the government. You're going against elected officials. And this could be, gosh, you get Rita Skeeter on this.
We also know.
Issues. But,
well, first, if the memory charm is working, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
I don't.
And secondly, we know that Dumbledore is okay with going against the Ministry of Magic. We know it. It already exists.
I just think that steps a line that a Gryffindor wouldn't really do. I think he thinks that Hagrid can tough it out, and he knows it's not going to be forever. Like, it's not like Hagrid's going to die. I think if Hagrid was going to die, he would do it. Dumbledore would have done it. Mm. But then again, who knows? This is Dumbledore.
He's too busy doing Dumbledore things.
Let's see. Elizabeth Ford Main says, don't you think taking Hagrid away clears him if further mischief occurs while he was gone. Yes.
Yes, absolutely. That yes. is that I will accept that as a possible answer. But does that mean he has to go to Azkaban? Not necessarily. He could just go off site.
Yeah, go a little time out. Caitlin Marie asks, why after hearing the voice, do you think Harry wasn't a lot more worried since he knows what happens after he hears the voice, especially letting Hermione go off on her own, even just with Ron going with her as backup?
Bam! Just like that. A winner!
And this is what I'm trying to say.
Okay, so we've got a 12-year-old boy whose entire self-worth is wrapped up in Quidditch. And he's the seeker. And if he misses things, his team loses. And this is incredibly important. And you know what? Like, Hermione's going to be right back. She goes to the library all the time. So what's great is I'm going to the game, which is outside of the school. And everyone's leaving the school. Nobody's going to die.
Yeah, but we also have an issue where that Harry's friends are his most important thing to him.
Yeah, she's going to meet up with us. She said she'll be right back.
But okay, she's muggle-born. The fact that he heard the voice and she's off on her own.
He's 12.
And she's just, he's just going, wee, Quidditch.
He's not going wee. He's got a lot on his plate.
There's a lot of wee happening right now, and I'm out on it. I'm out on the wee.
I'll give him his 12-year-old boy. He's got a lot on his plate.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
All right, so on that note. Fun chapter.
Yes. If we have any more questions, now is the time to get them in, ladies
and gents.
Heather
Wilson says, don't you think the author needs to start setting up some politics for later to build drama, the faculty and students versus the government, etc.? Yes.
Yes. But having Hagrid disappear with a boop and eventually a bloop would set up huge drama for students and faculty versus government. Not just, oh, yeah, Hagrid, hey, sorry, you gotta go, you know?
Dumbledore just likes to let things simmer, you know? Because he could have used a time turner. I'm gonna say that till I'm blue in the face. He could have used a time turner. He could have done all these different spells. And he lets things unfold, which I don't appreciate, but it makes for an interesting
story.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. Like, Dumbledore... It always goes back to the Godfather, okay? It always goes back to the Godfather.
Oh, my goodness.
Dumbledore essentially is Frankie Pantangeli. Hey, he told me Michael Corleone this, and Michael Corleone that. Yeah, for those of who are friends of the Godfather, fans of the Godfather, they know. And he goes, I don't know. And it is what it is. And that's what Dumbledore is doing. He's being Frankie Pantangeli, yes. Just going, yeah, sure, no problem.
He's got other
Hagrid,
fish to fry.
Take it away, yeah.
There will be moments when I love Dumbledore. Those moments are not right now.
Victoria asks, Blake, have you considered becoming an editor? I would love to if somebody wanted to pay me to do it. I'm just not sure if I'm smart enough for that. But I would love to be an editor, sure. If anybody's out there, yeah, sure, I'll be your editor. I'll take it.
On that note, time to wrap up the show.
Caitlin says we need to take the cannoli soundbite. You know what? I think I'm kind of in that because it always goes back to the Godfather. Always. I don't care who you are. All right, you ready to close this bad boy out?
I'm your wife.
Let's do it. What?
You said, I don't care who you are. I'm your wife.
You know what? No, vamp for me for just a little bit.
Oh, my goodness.
Just vamp. Just vamp.
Okay. So, here we are. We are in deep trouble. Dumbledore is yet again gone. Okay, he was gone the last time Harry had to go meet Voldemort when he was facing him with Quirrell. Now that he's gone again, Hagrid's gone. Fang's hungry. Mm-hmm. I mean, where do you even keep Fang's snacks? What does Fang eat?
Yeah.
How big is the kibble?
Are you getting steaks?
Where's Fluffy?
That's a good question.
Where'd Fluffy go?
Is Fluffy just like still like...
in the basement?
Just chilling? Who feeds him? Is it Hagrid? Who's going to feed Fluffy if Hagrid ain't there?
Yeah, like why didn't he say, don't forget Fang and Fluffy?
All right, now you ready to close it out?
Yes.
Let's do it. No, this is not the one that I want.
Okay.
This is not the one that I want.
I'm yawning.
This is upsetting me.
Here. I don't think Blake should be an editor. I mean, look at what he's doing.
You know what? I'm trying to do the best that I can here to make this an entertaining show, and it ain't working. You're going to have to vamp for me for another...
Oh, my gosh.
Like, for another couple minutes here.
Oh, but seriously, where's Fluffy? I do want to know. Inquiring minds want to know. How does he fit out of that trap door? Maybe there's a back entrance, like a stage entrance, you know, where they put like the piano through for Flitwick as he's leading choir rehearsal. I don't know. What does everybody do in their spare time, though? Do they date? Like, all these teachers don't have partners. Do they just go to the... I love the random
questions that you have. It's the best. Do they date?
Seriously. How would you date? How would you date? You want to come back to Hogwarts? No. No. Not at all.
All right. Now we can close the show out. Here we go. Ready?
Like
oh, it's the best. Now we can close out to The Godfather, because it always goes back to The Godfather.
Not in my book, but you know what book I do love?
What's that?
I love Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. I do love it. It's fun. It's a fun, quick ride, and I'm enjoying savoring it the way that we are with this read-along. So thank you all for those of you who are joining in through the Potterverse. Of course, next episode is going to be... Ooh, is it the Chamber of Secrets already? No, I'm skipping one. Aragog. Oh my gosh, what a fun chapter. So we're in for a wild ride. This will be happening later this week. Thank you for those of you who do tune in, whether it's live or via your podcast app. We truly appreciate your listening.
Yeah, everybody, thank you so much for listening and taking the time to join us in this nerd time and having fun. And speaking of that, make sure you go to jointhenerdclan.com. Become an official member over there, where you get so many cool things, like behind-the-scenes stuff that Mary and I do, stuff in our studio, stuff with our cat and our family, and also really cool premium podcasts and amazing Blake's Book Club stuff. We got so much stuff going on
we
over
do.
There.
We
Join
do.
TheNerdClan.com. And remember, if we get 510 patrons very soon, you will have the opportunity to make me wear a Hufflepuff t-shirt live in front of thousands of people. And pick whatever I have to say at the beginning of our podcast.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. So excited. All right, friends. On that note, my name is Mary Larson.
My name's Vito Corleone.
Oh, goodness gracious. Mischief managed.
It always goes back to The Godfather.